Sorry, guys. I'm not in strong form today. Welcome to
I'm in danger.
An onion tried to choke me. Welcome to Bear Attack, the show where three people who are still learning how to eat review things because we're failed creatives, and that gives us a license to trash other people's content. Yeah. I am Nate Patton, also known as Blitz Bear. The man laughing is Panda Bear Sam Oceans, the man who makes the podcast happen, and our color commentator, who's very tired after a long day of work. Polar Bear, say hi to the people.
But
Sam.
Feeling good about it.
Yeah.
The other Sam. They're both Sam. One's Polar and one's Panda.
As opposed to last week where he literally was covered in human shit for half the day, so he was not feeling it.
Human fecal matter.
Yes. So, we're all pretty tired. We're hard-working boys these days.
Hey, at least you didn't have to pull a cheetah cat baby out of a dragon's mouth.
Cheetah cat baby.
That's true. I did not have to do that. And that was a clue. Today we're talking about Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, the
Woo!
Movie.
Let's start with bad.
Bad. All right. Well, Panda Bear's bad is there's not enough dragons, apparently.
Not enough dragons, not enough dungeons.
I would say there's
quite a bit of one dragon.
Well, yes,
he's large for his stature, one might say.
That motherfucker is, in the words of Samuel L. Jackson, that motherfucker is a bear!
Yeah, that dragon's britches runneth over.
he spilleth out of his britches.
But he is... He has got a whole lot of energy for such a chunky dragon.
Well, he's gotta eat a lot to maintain that girth.
Here's why.
That's right. You don't get this size eating salads.
I think they did enough covering like the dungeon portion because they did the whole under earth thing and the like. And then they were in the dungeon a couple times, but like I feel like when they go play the games, instead of having that weird panther wing plant fucking thing that can project its own image, have a dragon. Why not?
Do you know?
Go ahead.
My bad is how much people talk smack about this movie. I think it's such a good representation of how Dungeons and Dragons actually is. I've been playing Dungeons and Dragons for most of my life. Do you know how many times I've actually fought a dragon in Dungeons and Dragons?
That's twice. Your DM needs to fix that. I'm kind of with Panda on this. There needs to be more dragons in Dungeons and Dragons.
I mean, it's literally in the name of the damn game. If you're not going to have a quest with a dragon, like...
There's a dragon goddess called Tiamat. I think I'm saying that right. And it seems like a lot of, like, the guys I've played with, they, like, usually try to work her into a campaign somehow, which I appreciate. And... The only legit campaign I've been in, my character is a Drake Warden, like a ranger who's part of a dragon cult. And that's been an endless source of amusement and so much fun to roleplay.
Okay, so...
but I also have a dragon that just... When she and I both roll good, her name's Susan. T-Z-U-S-A-U-N. But Susan and I can really wreck. And then other times I just miss all my shots.
Be aware, I've only played D&D once, so I'm going to be blissfully ignorant of the actual game on this episode. I mean, I get the premise and all that, and I know about I know about some of the dice and whatever. I'm going to bring up dice later, but yeah, more dragons, man. Like, missed opportunity in the maze there.
My bad is Polar Bear made his bad into a good, and
my bad is the haters.
I've only seen it once, and I kind of feel like while it was a lot of fun in the theater, I'm not really sure how much I would love sitting through the whole thing a second time. Like,
yeah, and like, here's the thing. I don't think it's inherently Dungeons and Dragons. Like, they could have titled it anything else, and it wouldn't have had to have any kind of preference to the game at all. And it would still
no,
been,
I,
like,
I I disagree with that. I think we'll get into that later because that's my good. But there's just like, you know what my bad is? You know how in your guys' theater, did they show like the cast, like do the whole like, we yes. worked really hard on this. Thanks for watching. They all looked so unhappy to be there.
Yeah. And normally that's like it was a really so stupid.
When casts get together to do that intro, like thanks for watching our movie intro, that usually means that they're very passionate. And it could be the thing with this movie, but they all just looked very unhappy to me.
I mean,
I forgot Michelle, about that. You know what? Can I change my bad? Can yeah, I agree? That's yeah, my bad too.
Yeah.
I thought that was clunky and awkward and like maybe we'd leave that one out.
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see it in the theater, so I didn't see that. But I'm like, just thinking about who the cast is, I'm like, Michelle Rodriguez always is more of a downer, like just inherently. But yeah, I don't know. And
well, I get it because you know theater ticket sales are down. Like nobody's going to movies as much as they did before. So far, the bad hasn't been that bad. But how bad's the ugly?
You know what the ugly is? The thought of Michelle Rodriguez being intimate with a hobbit.
I thought that was so funny.
He's so much shorter. I didn't know it was Bradley Cooper.
Totally. Really? Yeah, I totally knew it was Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper makes a pretty good hobbit. Like, I love that man. I really want to see him as the villain in something. I think he would be such a good villain.
My ugly was that I couldn't tell if the villain was Zooey Deschanel or not.
She's definitely not.
No.
Every time they panned to her, I was like, that's Zooey Deschanel in a bald cap.
What?
Every time.
It's totally not.
I don't see
it. I know, but I couldn't do it. And every time I saw her, it kind of took me out of the movie because I was like, who's that girl? It's a necromancer.
She doesn't look remotely like Zooey Deschanel.
Okay. That seems like you're just trying to fight me and make me feel bad.
Nope, not even look close.
I see it.
What? Her eyes are all weird compared in that to Zooey movie, Deschanel.
She looks like Zooey Deschanel in a bald cap.
Well, now that's my ugly too, because now every time I see that movie, I'm going to be like, one of my friends thinks that looks like Zooey Deschanel. What you think about that?
And now I'm gonna have to.
What do you think? What do you think about that? Want to drink Baileys out of a boot?
And that, now I'm gonna have to do the Rick and Morty thing every time I watch that movie. That son of a bitch.
Oh, Panda, what was your ugly?
I feel like they could have done like it's a Dungeons and Dragons movie. All right, there's gotta be, you gotta include dice in there somehow. I'm glad they didn't do the thing like they do in Jumanji where they find the game and then they get thrown into the thing. That would have been dumb.
Oh,
but
I'm so happy they didn't do that.
But yeah, like
that would have been stupid.
At least have like the one of the wizards have use like roly dice like as a like homage to the game. Like there's no dice. I feel like that's inherently a thing with Dungeons. You need dice.
That's fair.
Is there really no dice?
No, nobody throws dice the whole time. Oh. But I tell you what, the whole time I was watching that movie, I was like, ooh, that was a... Anytime the magician tried to cast in the first scene he's in, I was like, yeah, that was a one.
He rolled a two! Yeah. He rolled a two!
he gets tackled. Like, he misdoes a spell and he gets tackled.
Yeah.
That's a one all day. Well, because I feel like ones always have a consequence, and it shouldn't just be like,
oh,
you hurt yourself because you rolled a one. It should be like, you rolled a one, so this thing went badly, and then you got tackled by a fat farmer.
Yeah.
Every time... go ahead.
I feel like that would be me if I ever played as a wizard in that game. Like, that one time he gets lucky with the helmet, I'd be like, yep, the one time he rolls a perfect 20. Come on.
Yeah. I think... I'm going to just call the game that I was just a part of, I'm going to call it like the Tear, just so that I don't have to keep saying the game I was a part of. But so in the Tear, every time I would roll a one while I was like trying to shoot someone with my bow, our dungeon master would just be like, you miss, It goes wild and it hits Al in the shoulder. He's like, again?
Yes.
And I always felt so bad. I kept shooting my friends.
Okay, so I had one more ugly, and this might just be my ignorance and having not played the game a lot, but I, for the life of me, could not distinguish if Chris Pine's character was a bard or not. It's just me.
I think he's a rogue that like also has multi-classed into bard.
Right, but then they also call him a harpy. So
a harper.
He's a harper.
That's part of the story.
The guild he's in.
Well, and then I couldn't identify like
a harpy's like a ugly siren.
Agreed.
Is is Michelle Rodriguez's character just classified as a warrior, or is there an actual like...
She's a fighter.
Yeah.
She's a barbarian.
Her class is either barbarian or fighter.
Like, I feel like the wizards were pretty obvious, but then
I don't think she's a barbarian because she never really does a rage.
No.
I think she's a fighter.
She is the rage.
And then, like, you have the...
That's the secret. She's always angry.
Yeah, you have the other female lead. Obviously, she's a shapeshifter, but, like...
She's a druid.
Yeah, she's a druid. But, like, the wizards are the obvious ones, and then everybody else I was trying to, like, what? Like, is the one fancy Indian guy they run into that kills everything, I'm like, is he a fighter, or is he
a
cleric?
He's a paladin.
Yeah.
Paladin. They actually say that one. He's a paladin. They say the druid is a druid. The only one that they don't like, the only ones they don't say that are because they're obvious are the wizard, because he's a sorcerer.
Well, they say that Simon?
Yeah.
Simon the sorcerer?
Yeah.
they say that a whole bunch.
Yeah. But I mean, they don't say if he's a mage or a wizard, but the fact that he has to know like spells and words.
Right, well, he's a sorcerer. And there was even a part where I was like, okay, so is Forge a cleric then? Like,
Forge, which one's Forge?
The douchey fucking, my face is on the balloon guy.
Oh, no, Forge, I don't know what Forge's role is, because he doesn't do anything in combat. He's just sort of a douchebag.
He's I think he might be a rogue too.
Maybe,
but I'm not.
I think
I'm not positive.
I'm pretty
I don't
sure
remember.
That...
Honestly, that's another bad we could throw in. His characters, the bad guys, aren't super compelling.
Right, that, and they don't like. There isn't enough like diverse. Like they don't. You see a dwarf like one time. I'm like, dude,
true.
The dwarves are like some of the most powerful things in the game. Like I was a dwarf that one time I played. Like
that's
I know
that's true. You know what?
Not really very many dwarves or elves.
Yeah. Can I have that as my bad? Can I switch back to my bad that they're basically all humans or a tiefling?
We're gonna get good's gonna be long, so we gotta think of everything we can to pile on.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice it. We have a halfling, and everybody else is either human or the one tiefling.
Yeah,
though
I do think
so dope that they have a tiefling. I love tieflings.
My
love them.
My one character, Dak, the milkman's son. he's a sworn enemy of any demon kind, so like it never happened, but there was one tiefling that we ran into in the entire Terror campaign, and if there had been a second, there was gonna be a murder, and part of me is glad that I didn't have to do it, because it would have sidelined a lot of our progress, but at the same time I'm kind of bummed that I didn't get to just give full vent to my crusade.
It's funny, like, D&D is one of those topics that scares me to cover, because I'm like, it has such a cult, like, we could get totally, you guys love that garbage movie, it's not even, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of D&D players that are like, hate it, like.
Here's the joy of us being on the internet and the rest of them being strangers. I don't care, as long as they give us 5 stars, I'll take their hate all they want.
Everyone, I guess we could transition into our good, everyone in my group, and then everyone I saw it with, who some of the people I saw it with don't play D&D, everyone liked it a lot.
Yeah, and I think that kind of they had to do that, like they couldn't make it inherently a D&D movie because the people that don't play the game would be lost, but they also had to stay true enough that the people that play the game were like, okay, it's semi-accurate.
Okay, here's the thing, my good is that they stuck so well to just like the tomfoolery that gets a foot in a D&D campaign. Like when Simon walks too far and steps on the thing that ruins the puzzle.
Yep.
That is such a player character thing to do.
Or like when he sees the walking stick and it magically turns into a portal jumping fucking staff thingy.
Yeah, that is.
My all-time favorite example of how... So my good is they didn't take it too seriously while at the same time paying respect to the source material. Mm-hmm. And they really nailed the tone of it being funny, but also not mocking. And the best example is like when they break out of the dungeon and the one guy's like, "But we approved your pardon." That is 100% something that happens in every single good D&D campaign.
Yes.
Like,
oh, no,
constantly.
Actually, back at the bridge, that was like the most D&D moment of the whole movie for me, because he steps on the thing and the bridge collapses, right? And they're like, "Well, we're boned." And then suddenly she has the walking stick that does portals. Uh-huh. That is such like the DM's like,
"Shit,
I can't have them just get stuck here, and they don't have anything that they can do this."
It's okay. It's funny. That's like I saw that in the like couple scenes later when the. Palantine guy, I don't know his name. He's fighting
Paladin.
Paladin. He's playing all the he's fighting all the undead dead people. And
such a Paladin move.
And he beats them all, and then they're like, "Cool, we're safe." He's like, "Nope, undead will be." And then they come back, and then they're like running away, and then the dragon comes out, and you're like, "Okay, it's gonna be a dragon." And then it's a fucking El Gordo dragon. You're like, "Oh yeah, okay, somebody fuck that roll up." Oh yeah, and the dragon comes out, but it's fucking way overweight.
Yeah, that whole entire sequence, I can just hear a DM being like, "All right, everybody, what do you have in your packs? Okay, well, that is actually this." So I think this movie does so many things well. Like, it's funny in the way that like you would be funny around the table.
Yep.
Like when he's questioning all the dead people. Easy. One full session, that could just be...
Oh, yeah, that's super D&D. That happens so often.
Well, and
that,
then the
you can ask them five questions. Does that count as a question? Yes.
Well, and the fact that they left the last one alive, like, that would totally happen in D&D campaign.
Yep.
Did we forget something?
That was a dick move.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. Like, and then, like, when they do combat... Like, the next time somebody asks me why combat takes forever and why each move is only, like, 6 seconds. Because, like, any turn is 6 seconds, right? One round is, like, a minute, basically. I'm just going to show them the fight scene where she steals the axe at the end. But just, like, whoops all those guys while the bard is trying to cut his stuff. Because he's rolling twos and threes there all day.
Right.
But I'm just going to show them that of like, all right, that was a roll, that was an action, that was an action. She had initiative. Yeah,
you got to kind of, it's almost like reading a graphic novel. You got to have the imagination to kind of like put it into a movie in your head.
Yeah. But I mean, I think they did a really good job of like making it feel like, yeah, that's something that has happened in one of my D&D campaigns.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that they really nailed the world and the I agree with Panda Bear about the diversity of races and stuff like that. Of course,
that's fair.
You know, when you're there's a lot of like trying to shoehorn in like black people into fantasy stuff these days, like Rings of Power and stuff like that. The D&D, it makes sense in that world because
it's true.
Because that's that. So there's a lot of black people and stuff in it, and I really enjoyed.
Well,
like Simon reminds me a lot of one of my friends, and I liked that about it.
Well, that ties back into my.
But there
could have
been
though,
some dwarves.
Like, yeah, exactly. That ties back into my ugly. I'm like, there what they in the one universe where it is okay to interject all that, they didn't do enough of it.
Yeah, the characters all fill their roles. They're pretty well written. I like the father-daughter thing they have going on, trying to fix his broken family.
Right, and it's...
And I like that Michelle Rodriguez is, like, a competent, strong woman without putting down everyone around her or being just insufferable and nasty.
she's not the best because she's a woman. She's the best because she's the freaking best.
Right.
Right. And that
oh, man. Her whooping on those dudes is some of the best parts of the movie is her just absolutely dunking on these asses.
She rolls high. Yeah. She's got good bonuses.
I tell you what, she has got some good dice. She needs to hang on to those.
Right. Her
player.
And that's my good, actually, is when they introduce new characters. And it's not like in a happy-go-lucky film where everybody immediately gets along. Like, when they meet the Paladin, the rogue bard is like, I don't like this fucking guy. Inherently.
He has great hearing.
And they're all, yeah, and they're all like, and then when they're talking, and he's like, great, these people. And the wizard's just like, they have a history.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just like, yep, somebody fucked up on a dice roll there. That's funny. And
character interactions.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
Good.
It's so good.
And him walking away and just going over the rock instead of around it is the funniest thing I've seen in a movie.
Yeah, and I was gonna
in a long time.
I was gonna mention that. I'm like, that's just me being ignorant about the game because I'm like, is that a thing that happens?
I don't think that has anything to do with the game. I think it's just like, just a funny thing that happened.
Look how straight, look at the straight line he walks in. Is he going to go around? He's going over.
I don't know much about the like magic stuff in the world. And because I'm an anomaly where that stuff kind of bores me a little bit. I'm like, make with the swords and arrows, the shooties and the stabbies. But
you must love the underworld scene when the swords are magical then.
I'm blanking on
the Underdark.
On that part.
Yeah, the Underdark. When
all the swords are like flaming in magic.
And then he does the one like incantation for his sword, and it like makes it like a, I don't even know what it did, but like.
Paladin goes full paladin versus enchanted weapon.
Oh yeah, that was great. But my friends who all play as wizards and stuff, they liked the attunement to the helmet. They were apparently that was a unique way to do it, and they thought it was interesting.
Well, because you have to roll to attune to an item, you have to roll high. Like you have to roll this to attune this item.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was so much more fun that he had to like be worthy of the helmet, you know?
Right.
I think that's so much more fun. Wizards in D&D are so complicated, but I mean, like, if you can play them, they are almost unstoppable.
My gosh, dude. I'll stop talking about the tariff if it bores you guys, but one of our wizards, his name was Walter, and he was like our Gandalf. He would just disappear because the guy who played him would often not show up to sessions. But when he would show up, he would wreck. He could summon the Grim Reaper, and we all had like just a deity house that we would like, we got powers from that like the gods like came and like picked our party to like stop a demonic invasion.
It's funny. I feel like the wizard and I feel like if you get a guy like that doesn't show up regularly and he happens to be a wizard and he shows up the one week, there's just that one other guy that's there like, ah, fuck, the wizard's here.
No, we were always grateful because it was like, we need Walter. Why is he still sleeping? But so our DM's like got this pantheon and we're all like meeting the gods for the first time and he's like being very regal and everything with it. And then he's like, we're going through all the gods, and he's like, and I'm Alandra, the goddess of love. And Walter's like, that's mine. I worship you. You're the one. We just laughed so hard. But yeah, so he was our love guru, and then he also could just summon a Grim Reaper out of nowhere to do our fighting for us.
I'd like to mention another good for the movie is the CGI is awesome. I think they did a great job.
Yeah, it is.
And
yeah,
the effects. The CGI and the effects.
CGI's gotten bad, and it looks good in this movie.
Like that scene where the Red Wizard is talking to the Necromancer, I'm like, that could have been horrible. But I'm like, you know he's there, but he's not like...
Yeah.
It's not so, like... You can tell it's not like...
I never once thought about it.
Yeah.
Which is a good sign.
Yeah. And I immediately went, oh, look, Necromancer. I wasn't like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, oh, look, Necromancer.
Yeah. I liked the Mimic being in it just because.
Yep. Mimics are always good. I like the gelatinous cube got to do stuff.
Yeah.
And what a creative solution with a gelatinous cube, because usually you just avoid them because they're terrifying.
Right.
Oh, you know what I wish they would have done, though? I wish we would have had some wild magic, because I love wild magic.
That's the kind that can just go crazy.
Yeah, so if you're a magic user, you can get cursed with wild magic, and you, like, you do your spell, and it, like, the thing happens normally, and then you have to roll on a chart for wild magic, and one option is nothing happens, it's just a normal spell. Other options, like, crazy things, just anything. It's nuts. I love wild magic. But yeah, D&D, so good. The movie and the game.
I like D&D in principle, but the one time I played, I'm like, God damn it, my little fucking fly attention span and, like, lack of knowledge. It's so frustrating. I'm like, and then you get all these veteran players that are like, dude, just figure it out. I'm like, the fuck? I'm like, I'm clueless. That is
frustrating.
And I'm like, especially if
four people and a DM is perfect.
And I was like, I was a dwarf and I was... fuck was I? I think I was like a dwarf and I was like... I wasn't a fighter. I was like a... was I a cleric? Or something. That part of it was like clerics, super...
fucking... cleric could be a hard class to play if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, it was like ridiculously complicated.
Yeah, magic users are not for beginners.
No.
Yeah, beginners need to be like rogue, fighter, barbarian, like the very straightforward hit this, kill it classes.
I will say, like, my, the guys I played with were so cool that, and like, I came in, like, not knowing what anything was, and they were, like, so patient with me and, like, just like super excited to teach me the game and stuff like that. Well, and
like, and I watch,
that means the world.
Yeah. And like, I've,
that's a completely different experience.
I've watched like people that play all the time and like, it's just like rapid fire. But then like you get that one new guy that takes fucking 10 minutes to figure out what they're doing. And
I'm just well, like, also if you've been playing D&D for a while, a lot of us have characters that we've had for a long time. Like I have one and you're rogue. Kinda
like in, yeah, you don't have to think about like what they would do, and you just know.
I have a rogue multi-classed into monk, and he always steals a boat. Like every game I bring him into, I always steal a boat.
It's just his thing.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, like, a lot of times you have characters that you've played for a long time, so you, like, know what they would do.
I could build a spaceship!
Oh, my gosh. Ah! And if you want to get into D&D, don't mess with any of the older generations. Just do 5th edition. 5th edition makes D&D so much more accessible.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easier. But yeah, if you're a noob, don't be afraid to ask a lot of questions. I had to, every single time we leveled up, I had to ask the guys, how do I do this again? What are hit dice? And then if you're a veteran, be nice to the noobs. It's super intimidating.
Yep. And don't ask if you can do things. Say that you want to do this thing, and then the DM will tell you if you can or not, and you just roll the dice.
True. Yes.
Because it sucks when somebody's like, can I do this? Because then you're like, eh, that really takes you out of it. You're just like, because you want to be like, this is my character. They would do this. And then you just be like, you know what? I want to do this.
The like a rookie mistake that kind of peeves me. Like, and it's fine, I get it. Like if you're not good at role playing and stuff, is when people go, I say to whatever, and it's like, don't just say it to him.
Yeah.
Just also, look at him, and
once you can start using a character voice, doing voice is so much fun. The more different you can make them from you. Because everything you do, you need to be like, my character, what would my character do? Because your gut reaction is going to be like, I would do this. And you're like, maybe my character wouldn't do that, though.
Well, and I think that's the fun and like why D&D has such a cult following, is because it takes you out of real stuff. And you can like change your personality without changing your personality.
Totally.
I hate it when I want to do something, but my character won't do it because, like, their alignment won't allow it or something. Yeah. I hate it. Like, especially if you're playing a lawful good paladin, and you're just like, I want to kill them. But you're lawful good, so you can't unless they, like, are trying to kill you or actually murdering someone in front of you.
We've traveled down a rabbit hole that could go on for forever, like a game of D&D.
I love alignments. And also, alignments can change. You can be a chaotic, good character, and something real bad can happen to you, and you can become evil.
Yeah, I play my favorite way to play Mass Effect is as a neutral good.
Yeah, I have played characters that have started out as, like, I played a paladin that started out lawful good, and by the end of the campaign, things had happened to my character that he was neutral evil. Like, if I could get away with it, I was murdering people left and right. I mean, I was just, like, slashing heads off.
Crusaders are so much fun to play as.
Yeah. But yeah, so, like, trauma. If you're going to be a D&D, remember that trauma is important. Character development matters.
On that note, what are we, the movie, not the game, what are our rankings?
7 out of 10.
Subjective. 8 out of 10. It's...
I wanted to talk about it, but fine.
I'm so sorry.
No, yeah, I don't feel like it's amazing, but it was a really good time, and in today's current media landscape, that's really high praise. It stands far above its peers.
What was just okay 4 or 5 years ago is now, like, top tier.
Is now movie of the year. So anyway, 8 out of 10.
Yeah. 8 out of 10. I don't really have, like, I don't feel like I need to justify it. I feel strong in my 8 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you were giving it, like, a 9 out of 10, I would be like, all right, justify that one a little bit for me. But 8 out of 10, it's like, it's a very enjoyable movie.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun, and that's usually how I think about my movies, is like, did I have fun? Yes.
As for my ranking, I am going to give it... 6, yeah.
All right.
For a solid average of 7 out of 10.
Yeah, and the only reason it doesn't get a 7 is because I feel like if it didn't have the D&D name on it, you would never know. Like, yeah, I just feel like if they wouldn't have called it that, it could have been any movie that anybody had written. Like,
I think if That's you didn't fair. Call it D&D, I think it would just be like, it would have been a Marvel movie without Iron Man again.
Mm-hmm.
Because the D&D
community was still loved it.
Yeah, it sort of follows the same formula as Marvel, though, right?
Yeah, but it's like one of the good Marvel movies.
Yeah, but anyways, what are we loving?
Dude, one of my friends bullied me into watching Andor, and I think a couple of years ago, I have the one episode rule. If the first episode doesn't hook me, I don't watch it. And it's never steered me wrong. The problem is, I think a couple of years ago, I would have given Andor a second episode, but I had just finished Hawkeye and Book of Boba Fett, and I was like, Disney Plus shows go nowhere, so I thought Andor was going to do the same, and in a way, it kind of did, but it's actually really good. And it's very slow paced, but it's slow paced in a good way. And I thought it was going to just be like boring and not have any payoff, but it does have payoff. And oh,
that's good.
It made me remember why I loved Star Wars, which
wow.
is a big deal because that part of my soul had died. Like, really.
Yeah, that's impressive.
It gives me hope for future, like, Ahsoka, I think, will be interesting. I don't know if it's going to be good, but I feel like she's got enough character development that has already happened that it could be interesting. I'm loving that all these tours are getting announced, and I'm excited that we will be possibly going to a couple of them. Like that Parkway Drive, the whole, they're all Australian bands. I'm like, about damn time. I mean, there's a couple bands. Obviously, they didn't include all the good Australian bands, but I'm like, Amity Affliction's there.
Well, that is a lot.
My favorite current Australian band, Make Them Suffer, is opening that show, so that'll be good.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
Make Them Suffer is great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Oceans.
I kind of wish...
Sorry. I stepped on that a little bit.
I kind of wish they had included Diarda's Murder, but I feel like at that point it'd be too much.
I like three bands.
It's four.
It's a good night. Is it four?
Northlane is there too.
Oh. I want to like Northlane so much.
Yeah. And then shows are happening in Flagstaff. So one big one is Lamb of God and Ice Nine Kills with the Acacia Strain.
I think if I haven't listened to metal in a long time, I'm way more open to Lamb of God.
Oh, yeah. No, heavy. If like... I've been listening to something not inherently heavy and Lamb of God comes on, it breaks my neck every time. I'm like,
right. It's like, whoa, what's this?
I have them in the same category as Hatebreed, like a totally different sound. But like when Hatebreed comes on, I've been listening to something more mellow. Like I was listening to Small Town Murder. The episode ended. Hatebreed was the first thing I heard. And I'm like, yeah,
I'm going on the Emo's Not Dead cruise.
Nice.
That's something I'm loving too.
Oh, dude, I am so jealous. I'm excited to live through you vicariously, though.
I know.
Thanks.
I'm loving that my pay system actually worked in my favor today instead of against me.
Nice.
Always a good thing. Thank you for getting nerdy with us. And we're going to kind of divert from the nerdism, but not exactly, because we're gonna, next podcast you're gonna hear from us, we're gonna be reviewing an album, hopefully with a guest who you've met.
Never truly far from nerddom.
Yeah, right. And it is a album by, it's the new album by Power, it's a new album by Powerwolf, which is a power metal band, but their whole thing is werewolf and lycanism, and it's so nerdcore still in there.
Yeah,
still nerding
very much.
But yeah, stay tuned for that. Again, thanks for listening. If you didn't check out our last episode, if it doesn't get taken down, we did a radio style episode, and we compared songs that sound the same that haven't been sued over or have, and we're just ignorant to the fact that they have, but we don't think they have been. So there's that. And Polar Bear,
yeah.
Yeah, you can handle the rest, I think.
Thanks for listening to our show. If you want to play D&D with us, let us know and give us a 5-star review so you can tell us that and we'll read it. If you didn't like the show, leave us a 5-star review and tell us what you didn't like about the show. Also, if you just can't think of anything, you can hit 5 stars and tell us Polar Bear made you do it. But hit us up on social media. You can also find our email address to talk to. Probably Nate will answer, unless it's specifically to one of us, then that one will answer. Hit us up on the internet and we'll talk to you out in the space. Thanks and love you. Bye.